Hey, what's going on? It's Quinn David Furness. Welcome to my show. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast for Friday, May 3rd, 2024. It's officially a third of the way through the year. What's going on? Season 7 of the Beantown Podcast is one third of the way over. What's happening? My name is Quinn, and this is my show, Quinn David Furness Presents the Beantown Podcast. I am the jockey, I'm the owner, I'm the trainer, the whole triple threat. I do it all here at the Beantown Podcast and Beantown Podcast Stables, beantownpodcast.com/stables. Stable Song by Death Cab. That's a great track, kind of slower. It's the ending of Plans, I think. It's it's in 3/4 time. Ben Gibber, the opening line is like, "Time for the curtain call." I don't know what the lyrics actually are. I haven't listened to that in a while. Speaking of, third of the way through season 7, we've kind of settled in here to a rhythm. First, yes, still going on Audacity. It's been about a month here. No, I have not transferred over the intro and outro tracks from the MacBook. It's in mega timeout mode right now, and I haven't even opened it up for a month. Second, we've kind of settled in, at least this season, to our kind of go-to segments, right? We try to do as best as I can this week on the campaign trail because of the big election coming up. I do our trivia question, which, try to keep going for as long as the show is going because I enjoy trivia and I think you all the listeners do too. And then whatever our main content is, plus our ad reads. I just want to share this briefly, and I don't actually have an entry into it this week, so I apologize, but kind of something that has fallen by the wayside here. Palindrome of the week. We did a lot of palindromes, probably got up to like 20 or so, and then just it kind of lost its luster. L-U-S-T-E-R, lost its luster would be a great horse name, which we're going to be talking all about in a second here. But so apologies if there are any big palindrome heads out there. I apologize that we haven't kept up with it as best as we could have. And also right on cue, still under construction, you can actually go to beantownpodcast.com/right-on-cue. Make sure you put the dashes in there or it doesn't work. There's got to be something with the website coding where I could make the URL not have to have the dashes, but it sounds like it's above my pay grade. My pay grade for this show is zero, so it's really not saying a lot. But, hopefully that will come back soon. Maybe when the campaign ends in 6 god-awfully long months here, we'll get back to that. We're going to get right into the headlines in a second here after I let you know that listener discretion is advised. When you're listening to this program, number one, we'll occasionally use some language. Number two, this podcast is objectively terrible. Also, what am I drinking today? I was just telling Rachel earlier today, man, not that I feel like, oh my God, I'm getting super fat and like, I gotta cut everything out. But just knowing that we got, engagement photos coming up shortly here, probably our wedding is officially under a year away, which is exciting. So I was saying, man, I gotta, cut things out. The easiest thing is just like, lay off the craft beer. I've been, especially as the weather's gotten nicer, I've tried to like go out, go for long walks, stop in at local breweries, support local businesses. I love drinking beer, that sort of stuff. So what do I do? I go to Jewel on my long walk today to get some supper or some other stuff, and I walk out of there with a tall boy, a Victory Golden Monkey Belgian style triple. If you're curious, yes, it's 9.5%. That was not the plan. I want to make things very clear. It was not the plan when I went for the walk, but man, just a busy work day. One of those days where you kind of sit down with your computer, you get going a little bit slow to start, and it seems like everyone woke up about 11 a.m. and we're like, oh, we're going to crash the party. And I went for a long walk, and the team's messages just didn't stop. So eventually I get to Jewel. I'm like, I try not to be a huge stress drinker, and I think this is just like end of the week, taking a load off. But man, just today was way too much for a beautiful Friday. Ideally, I would have played hooky and gone to Wrigley and just watched the Cubs blow another game to the Brewers. Our closer, our former closer, but he was pitching in the 8th today. Adbert Alzolay blew his 5th save of the year so far, and we are only May 3rd. I imagine that's a Major League Baseball record to have blown 5 saves already. By one player through whatever we're at, first 30 games of the season. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. yeah, it's not getting into the weeds with all the Cub stuff. It's unnecessary. Don't need to do it. I feel like our recording level is way too low here. It, like, auto-adjusts. I think that's what happened. And this is bringing back some memories here of Audacity. I'm going to... my voice probably just got way louder for you on the recording. I apologize for that. You know, we had a... I'm not going to get too far into the weeds here, but we had that recording with Matthew Fiedler, our taxes special, about 2 weeks back. And Matthew was great, as always. And he talked the same amount as, or same volume level as he usually does. What Audacity does, though, and I should have figured this out, and I got to find... We're going to... This is a research project for next week. A way to turn this off. Audacity tries to be like smart AI and like adjust the recording level to try to protect listeners' ears based off of what it hears coming in. So if you have something like Matt Fiedler coming in through the phone, it, even though the volume might be where I want it to be, it kind of detects it because it's like a lower quality as, oh, let's lower this recording level. It seems like it should be the opposite, right? But it does something where it brings the recording level way down. Case in point, I just realized, you know, before I started, I was like, okay, let's make sure our recording level is high. So I bumped it up to like 90%. And then I just checked it was at 48%. So it does some sort of auto-adjusting, which I 100% do not want. And I just watched it go from 87 to 76. So it is doing this automatically. I think the last couple of episodes we've been good. I'm going to try to get through it without, you know, having to stop and try to adjust the setting. But I do want to make a note of that for later because it is extremely irritating. And it can lead to episodes that are almost impossible to hear, like our one with Matt Fiedler. So we're learning about all the pros and cons of Audacity right now. I know about 2.5% of the features. The last thing I'll say is this isn't my first rodeo with Audacity. I recall back in 2020, season 3 of the show, I think it was 2020, I went down to, I went over to the to New England and did a couple of shows out there. I was intending to do shows as I went along and then just release them periodically, yada, yada, yada. I used Audacity because I didn't want to travel with my Mac. So I had another laptop with me that didn't have GarageBand. So I was like, let's just use Audacity. And I had the same issue, and I couldn't figure it out. It was really problematic back then. I don't know if something's changed now. It's a little bit better, but it's still a little bit of an issue. So just know that that's got to be something you can turn off in Audacity, I imagine. So if you know, email us, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. Again, that's beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. But today's just one of those days where it's like end of the day, no more inspiration for talking. Really would just like to shut my trap for about 12 hours, play some video games, and wake up, you know, get a good night's sleep, especially tomorrow. I'm doing some volunteering, going to a food pantry for about 3 hours midday. And you know you're going to have to chat through that, right? It's a very social thing, helping the, you know, the less fortunate. So, and that's, I'm not going with anyone I know. It's a completely diving in head first. So, excited to do that. Good for the community, but also I'm going to have to talk. So, what's our recording level at now, guys? 76%. If we had someone in the booth, the engineer booth, then this would, you know, all be different. Let's jump into this week on the campaign trail here. We're going to take a little sidestep from the whole Trump-Biden thing. I could talk about the White House press correspondents dinner last Saturday night that Colin Jost gave the keynote, or whatever they call it, speech at. It was pretty cool. Pretty well done by Colin. But I do want to touch on this because this has been all over the news lately. Basically, if it's not about the White House or about the Trump trials, this is what we've been talking about. Kristi Noem, okay, if you don't know, and I don't know if it's Noem, like G-N-O-M-E, or Noem, like two syllables, but it's N-O-E-M, Kristi Noem. So basically, if you haven't been following, the author of this New York Post article is Megan Palin, and at first I saw it, I thought it was Sarah Palin, and I was like, well, that'd be pretty cool. I wouldn't really trust Sarah Palin to write any sort of anything, frankly, but maybe she could dictate it. So, and I'm partially playing catch up here too, but Kristi Noem is the governor of South Dakota, and she recently released a memoir, I think it was. I don't know if it was a book or just a memoir, but my understanding with Kristi Noem is the book's not out yet. She has just been like releasing excerpts, is essentially what we're dealing with here. And everyone's saying, oh, you know, she's making her push to be Trump's VP, which surprisingly, Trump hasn't announced his VP pick yet. We're 6 months to go. It feels like prime time. Like this is, especially this, here's the thing. And there's got to be strategy to this, I think, from a like running for the White House political standpoint. Trump is pretty knowledgeable. Maybe it's not him. Maybe it's the people he surrounds himself with. But like they have a plan. So I think there's a reason why they haven't done this. But doesn't it seem like with Trump stuck in trial, it's literally been, what, 2 weeks now, 3 weeks now, with the exception of Wednesdays? The judge did say he gets to go to Barron's graduation. So poor Trump. But wouldn't it behoove, B-E-H-O-O-V-E, Trump to have a vice presidential running mate picked out now so that that person can campaign? I mean, I guess Kristi Noem is basically campaigning for Trump right now with this whole book tour, but wouldn't you want it to be like set in stone official? So she's making her push. What the reason we mention it is one of the excerpts that like her team released to like advertise the book, and it's probably just a shock campaign, which sounds like something you could do in Star Wars Battlefront or something. I don't know. But basically that she talks about growing up on a farm in South Dakota, and not just growing up, she lives on a farm still in South Dakota. And how she tells a very specific story about a dog that was just not behaving as well as she wanted to. And so she took it out behind a 14-month-old wire hair pointer. She says she hated it. It's worthless. It's not behaving well. And so she took it, Cricket, she took it behind the barn and shot it. And she's kind of pushing this out as, just like that's the excerpt she's pushing out. And I will say this, as someone who's been around farms, if you know, animals, all that stuff, like she's saying, sometimes these sorts of things happen. I don't think anyone is arguing that, like, Kristi Noem, like, has no idea what she's doing in a farm as a farmer. What's crazy is, like, she's pushing this as her lead excerpt from this book and then, you know, getting a ton of shit for it. So, hey, we're talking about her. This is, I mean, she's probably, if she's governor of a state, she's probably not stupid. I mean, there's Sarah Palins are out there, but so Kristi Noem, congratulations. You got to the front page of the news. Sarah Palin, Megan Palin wrote an article about you. That's kind of like if Sarah Palin and John McCain ever got together, their daughter would be Megan Palin. Big View heads will know that. Is The View still going on? And if so, who is on it these days? Is Joy Behar still on The View? Or did The View finally end? Looks like when I Google The View, there's a YouTube clip from 6 hours ago. Brooke Shields, of course, applauds new movie for celebrating women. And man, if you have not seen Brooke Shields in this latest The View thumbnail, holy moly, spooky, spooktacular. Who are the current hosts of The View? Joy Behar is still going. Apparently she took 2014. I don't think we've ever talked about The View in 330 episodes of the Beantown podcast, so good for us. Last thing before we're going to jump into trivia here, and then not going to bury the lead anymore. We got horse names to get to, guys. Joy Behar took 2014 off. Otherwise, she's been there since 1997. Whoopi Goldberg is still on. That's kind of surprising. It's been 17 years for Whoopi. That's a lot. The rest are very new. Sarah Haynes, that's the she hosts The Chase, right? I had no idea that she was on The View. That's interesting. Meghan McCain is gone. Ana Navarro is, you know her from like CNN. She's on it now. And Alyssa Griffin. I don't really know who that is. She was White House Director of Strategic Communications for Trump. Oh, that's nice that they got her on The View. Press Secretary to Mike Pence. Interesting. Other interesting names that have been on that we may have forgotten about. There's someone called Jedediah Bila. It's a female. Her name is Jedediah. That's crazy. I never heard of that. Candace Cameron Burr. Candace Cameron is DJ on Full House, right? Yeah. Burr is her married name. Raven Simone was on for 2 seasons. How could we forget? Jenny McCarthy. That's what's her name's? Jenna Maroney's, Jane Krakowski's arch nemesis in 30 Rock. Rosie O'Donnell was on two different one-season stints, 06 to 07 and 14 to 15. Elizabeth Hasselbeck was a classic. Lisa Ling, of course, for 3 years. Barbara Walters, rest in peace. And then the first two seasons, Debbie Matenopoulos, don't know who that is, and Meredith Vieira and Star Jones were both 97 to 06. And then a slew of great guest hosts over the years. Speaking of 30 Rock, I'm pretty sure Sherry Shepherd has been on once or twice. So there you go. There's The View. But that was this week on the campaign trail. Let's jump in here and give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Then we're going to do trivia. And then, guys, the big event, one of our biggest shows of the year. If you're curious, our Audacity recording level is down to 68. Why does this bastard thing keep pulling down? I literally am sitting here as we're recording, dragging the slider. It just happened. Oh, my God. It's like watching your toe twitch or something. It's like you know what's happening, and it's infuriating, but you still have to see it. Drag the slider up to 80% recording volume. It goes down to 68. I'm not that loud. If this fucks with the like listener experience for the Beanheads, I'm going to riot. The goddamn problem is I take a sip of my beer, and there's a lot of beer here to be drank. And then it's like, oh, we're not hearing you. Let's change the recording volume. But it brings it down instead of up. They're very frustrating. Guys, Home Pride Oregon. When you need your home inspected in Central Oregon, don't just call any Joe Schmo or as Sarah Palin or as Megan Palin or as Megan McCain would say, Joe Sixpack. Call someone who's been established in this industry. He knows Bend, guys. He knows the wood that you use to build your house. He knows the clay that you use to build your porch. He knows about trellises. He knows about other structures, gazebos, certainly. His parents used to have a great gazebo that I painted with my brothers many years ago. Different colors, accidentally, but separate story. Steve knows houses. Let's just put it that way. And when we're talking about Steve, that's right. It's Home Pride Oregon, 541-410-0316. Or you can always reach out to homeprideoregon@gmail.com. Don't try the website, homeprideoregon.com. Seems like it got scooped up. I only wish that I would have thought of that here. The Beantown Networks, we could have made homeprideoregon.com a subsidiary of Beantown Networks. Would have been pretty cool. Can you imagine going to beantownpodcast.com/home-pride-oregon? It's a mouthful, but it's not that bad to type, especially if you have excellent 100 words per minute typing like I do. All this is to say, call Steve. Home Pride Oregon, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Don't fuck it up, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Home Pride Oregon, inspection perfection. Steve would not endorse the F-bombs, but sometimes you got to get your point across, guys. Speaking of get your point across, maybe a nice even neckline from Cuts by Q. Oh, that would be nice. You know how I cut my own hair? I grab my Chicago Bulls hat that I think my dad got when we were kids from somewhere. He would probably remember. I don't, but I've held on to it ever since. It's the only piece of Bulls gear I own. But I take that baby. I put it across. I take the brim of the hat. I put it across my neck so you have a nice, even surface. Then I take my electric trimmer, you know, holding the brim of the hat firmly against my back of my neck with my left hand. Take my electric trimmer with my right hand and then just use that as a, you know, like a edge, basically. And that's how I trim my own neck. Here's the good news for you if you're interested in our services at Cuts by Q, one of Chicago's oldest or more recent or both, independently owned barbershop boutiques, bowls, beehives, bangs, those cool bangs that you see on TikTok now. We do it all. But the good news is you don't have to hold your own hat when I cut your neck. Cut your neck sounds terrible. When I trim your neck, it's like Sweeney Todd. And then the tail of Sweeney Todd. It's the only song I know from Sweeney Todd because it's in the cold open of that Office episode with Ed Helms. No hats required, okay? I got my own eyes. I can look right at your neck. It'll be great. I'll keep it straight. I might use like a ruler, though. I feel like to make sure it's straight, or like a leveler or something. I don't know. I don't really know how like people who actually went to cosmetology school do that sort of stuff. But cosmetology school, is that what you go to become a barber? Is that all kind of included? You learn hair in cosmetology school. What about barber school? There is a barber college in downtown Chicago on Wabash. Denmark College. Look it up. I've always wondered what goes on in there. I feel like maybe we could do a collab, product collab, drop some new combs, C-O-M-B-S, great word, combs. I don't know. Denmark College, hit me up, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. Actually, we have our own email, if you can believe it, cutsbyq@yahoo.com. It is not monitored frequently. And unlike beantownpodcast@yahoo.com, cutsbyq does not flow into my phone's native email app. So there's a very strong chance I will never see your email. But I'll try. I log in like once a year, just out of curiosity. I see all the like this, not only the spam, but like all the websites that I've had to create accounts for, just like access their services over the years. There's a strong chance that I'm gonna throw in cutsbyq@yahoo.com for that. So it kind of, it's like a time capsule, right? You see all these great websites in the past that you used one time and you never thought of again. So there you go, Cuts by Q. When you need a fresh do, something snappy or new, call the experts at Cuts by Q. And I want to get to the horse names here. I'm excited. And we still got trivia. So thankfully, our last sponsor here, because TV Guide stopped sending itself to me. I'll never know what's on TV again, except House of the Dragons coming back this summer. I actually have seen it, unlike Game of Thrones. I just saw the last episode. So, I also saw The Red Wedding. And, you know, we're close to finishing The Wire. Of course, Aidan Gillen is the mayor, Tommy Carchetti. Apparently, he's also in Game of Thrones, but I saw a spoiler the other day on Reddit that his character dies. So, rest in peace. Of course, our good friends, Samson Q2U series, crisp, clear audio quality. We had some good Bible verses last week. So, thank you to Samson for being clear with your intentions, with your sound, with your quality. I appreciate it. I've got to, not to get too far derailed here, but I've got to start writing. You know, Father's Day 2024, season 7 of the Beantown podcast, after Daddy Longlegs last year and the Daddy Longlegs 2.0, by the way, if you're like, oh yeah, I remember Daddy Longlegs, but what was Daddy Longlegs 2.0? The most fire trap remix of all time inspired by Rachel. You got to go check it out on my YouTube channel or just YouTube search Daddy Longlegs 2.0. Dude, this thing is a certified banger. When it first came out, when I first dropped it, I was listening like 5 times a day. Now I'm down to like once every other week, but still good. Still nuts. But I feel like there's a lot of pressure, right? After the success of Daddy Longlegs. A great song in 6/8 time about spiders and spinning. There's a lot of pressure to get it right this year. Keep that flame burning all the way to Paris. So it's Father's Day. It's not Mother's Day. Mother's Day is next week. Father's Day still got a month and change here. But time's going to fly before Father's Day. I mean, we got like 3 weeks. We move apartments in 3 weeks from today. That's right. Beantown Podcast is going to officially have its 5th home. Is that right? St. Paul Street, where it all started in Baltimore and Beantown. Rogers Park, part 2. Lincoln Park. Wrigleyville. And now North Center. So yeah, it's going to have its, we're going to be in season 7. Beantown Podcast is going to have its 5th home. Hopefully the acoustics in there are good. I don't know. We'll find out. But where was I going with this? Oh, and then, you know, we move and then Memorial Day weekend. That is Memorial Day weekend. And then Rachel and I both have dueling bachelor bachelorette parties for the same couple out of state that weekend after, kind of that end of May, early June. And then we got some parties and stuff. And then it's Father's Day. So shout out to Steve, who you may have heard about earlier on this show. Shout out to my sister of the podcast, been on a handful of times, Abby Furness, slated to graduate college with a bachelor's degree in a little bit more than a month here. So very exciting. We got way off schedule with Cuts by Q. So let's just, Samson Q2U series. So let's end it there. When God speaks, he uses a Samson. Okay, thank you for indulging my brain all over the place. We're going to be very straightforward and to the point. We got 2 things left here, although part 2, of course, is huge, right? Horse names. That's what you all came here to see. Apologies, it took me half an hour to get in. I did want to do a quick trivia question. It's not about horses. It is about Jerry Seinfeld and his new unfrosted film, which the critics are, outside of like the plugged in Hollywood people who have Jerry on their show, and it's like they have to say, oh, it's very funny. The cast list is great. Apparently, it's just utter garbage. Dude, Jerry on this media tour, at least from what I've been seeing on Twitter and Reddit, he is getting, especially juxtaposed, great word, against Curb ending with Larry and stuff. Jerry is getting absolutely destroyed reputation-wise. People are saying like, oh God, we realize like Jerry's really not that funny and Larry was like the only one with edge. Because, you know, B-movie, gosh, 20 years ago already, right? B-movie, maybe more like, what was it, like 2007? So like 15 to 20 years ago. B-movie, obviously like very bizarre for that to be Jerry Seinfeld's like first movie after Seinfeld. But, you know, it's kind of come around 10 to 15 years later. Like, it's memeable, almost like Shrek. People are like, oh, yeah, this is kind of iconic. Unfrosted, you never say never about a film, but it's getting absolutely raked through the coals right now. So I wanted to ask a trivia question to all the beanheads out there, not about Jerry, not about his film, but about Pop-Tarts. And the question is going to be pretty simple, and you can just kind of take your stabs. I'm not going to give you a lot of extra clues unless you really want them. Maybe. We'll see. But here's the very simple question that I have, and I had it highlighted, and then it completely disappeared, which is not helpful. Okay, here we go. I found it. So Pop-Tarts originally came in 4 flavors. Yes, our trivia question is that simple. So back when it was introduced in 1964, right after Home Pride Oregon got its start in Oregon. 1964, the original 4 flavors of Pop-Tarts, name them. Fans of Beverly Hills Housewives, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, that's a mouthful, will know Sutton and her famous argument with Kyle Richards from this last season. Name them. Name them. If you're curious, yes, she does have a Southern accent. She's from like Nashville or something. And now she lives in Los Angeles. So name them. What were the 4 original Pop-Tart flavors? If you want any more time, go ahead and pause. Do what you need to do. I'll try to give some hints for each one of these. I'll say this. It's nothing that's going to shock you, I think. The original 4 flavors. First one is, let's see. It's a fruit and it's red. And sometimes the little seeds might get stuck in your teeth. At least they do for me. That's right. It's strawberry. Second up, it's, I think if you go to the internet these days, it'll be like the consensus fan favorite. It's certainly my favorite. It's a combination of 2 flavors that go perfectly well together. It is, you know, it's not fruity, but it's sweet. It's absolutely delicious. It's like a cinnamon roll. I guess I just gave you part of it. It is brown sugar cinnamon. And yes, if we were doing an entire power rankings of Pop-Tart flavors, brown sugar cinnamon would absolutely be my number one. The third flavor is back to fruity. It's one of the only things in nature that naturally comes in this color. Other things that you might see in this color, a certain type of lobster. If you need any more clues, I don't really know what to tell you. It's a blueberry that also has little seeds that get stuck in my teeth. I think blueberry more so than strawberry. If you're curious, the culprit is my permanent retainer on the bottom of, inside of my bottom kind of 4. Those little seeds just get wedged in there, and if I'm lucky, I can get it out with my tongue, but it almost always has to be a toothbrush going in there or a floss. And then the last flavor is the toughest one, largely because it is a fruit, but then it's a 2-word phrase. The first one is a fruit. The second word is something I don't even know what it is. Let's look it up. You know what? If you can guess it, great. I'm just going to tell it to you. It's apple currant. And I had to look up what currant is one of those, or currant, however it is. I think it's currant. One of those fruits, C-U-R-R-A-N-T, where it's like, yes, I've seen it before. I've heard of it. But I couldn't like tell you what it is with any sort of accuracy. So directly from Oxford Languages Dictionary, a small dried fruit made from a seedless variety of grape originally grown in the eastern Mediterranean region, now widely produced in California. So it's like an apple-grape combo. If you're curious, apple currant was quickly renamed apple berry, which is just hilarious. I don't want to go too deep into this, but things like blue raspberry or something where it's like, this doesn't exist. It's like a manufactured flavor. Apple berry. What the hell is berry flavor? Is it a cherry? Is it a strawberry? A blueberry? Is just like, what is berry flavor? So, when you get like the Jolly Ranchers that are watermelon flavored, or really watermelon as an artificial flavor, it's pretty far from like regular watermelon flavor, right? Blue raspberry is basically just like sweet, like pure sweet and blue color. That's with like a little bit of a sour after finish. That's kind of what blue raspberry is. I'm trying to think if there are any other like candy flavor, like famous candy flavors out there that are just like, this is not at all what this actually tastes like in real life. I'm sure they are in abundance, but there you go. That was our trivia question of the week. Let's jump into the horse names, guys. Okay, so apologies for burying the lead. I am infamous at doing that. Something I wanted to share with you right before we jump into our top 10 list here and honorable mentions. Thank you to guest predictions or guest submissions. I really appreciate it. I've never really gone through the actual entrance list of the real Kentucky Derby for this year to kind of give you like a comparative sense of, okay, this is what the names are actually like. Quinn goes through this silly exercise every year, and it's like probably kind of accurate, but like, is it actually close? Who really knows? Oh, and I also got to go before I forget into my, I did not finish my document with the horse names before I started recording, which is a damn shame. But I wanted to go into my all-time top 10 horse names and enter 2024 before I forgot, because we got to talk about that too. But I just wanted to share with you what the entrants for this year's actual legit 2024 Kentucky Derby were, so that you could kind of get a sense of, you know, what we're dealing with here comparatively. So, and I apologize, I'm just typing something into my phone. Let's read the names. Okay, let's get into the final document set. Let's read the names, and then let's maybe jump in and remind you of what the top 10 list for 2023 was, and then we'll get to our top 10. And I won't belabor the point too much and go in depth on each name, because it's just kind of surface level, superficial, and just fun. Excuse me, I don't think my names this year have a ton of like great backstories. There weren't a lot of historical polls. I didn't have any. Sometimes in the past we've had guys like Stanford Raffles. I think Walt brought my attention to that maybe one year, my brother. And that's great, because you're like, oh, let's go talk about the founding of Singapore. I don't have anything like that this year. It's pretty just fun and flirty, like me. Okay, here are the actual Kentucky Derby horses for 2024. I'm going to fly through these. Number one, Dornoch, D-O-R-N-O-C-H, if you're curious. Number two, Sierra Leone. Number three, Mystic Dan, M-Y-S-T-I-K. Number four, Catching Freedom. Number five, oh, I love this one, Catalytic. That's great. Number six, Just Steel, steel as in iron. Number seven, Honor Marie. Reminds me of Breaking Bad. Number eight, Just a Touch. Number 10 reminds me of Terrell Owens, T-O Password. It's got a asterisk next to it. I don't know what the asterisk means. Isn't that one of your least favorite things in life when you see a clearly sort of published asterisk and it's like, oh, let's search the rest of the page to see what the asterisk means, and there's nothing there. That makes me so mad, because it's like there has to be something here on the page, right? There has to be an asterisk explanation somewhere. That is a gigantic pet peeve. We do pet peeve podcasts here and there, and that should 1,000% be on there. That was the front half. Back half, Forever Young, 12, Track Phantom, 13, West Saratoga, 14, Endlessly, 15, Domestic Product, 16, Grand Mo, the first M-O, 17, I'm pretty sure this is a Taylor Swift album, Fierceness, Jockey John Velasquez. I feel like he's won a handful of derbies, so watch out for Fierceness. That's my pick already. 18, Stronghold, 19, Resilience, 20, Society Man, and 21, Epic Ride. And the note, this is not the asterisk, this is a note. Epic Ride replaces Encino following the latter horse's scratch. Maybe they had to, broke his leg, they shot him or something, I don't know. One thing I wanted to check on the trainer is, does Bob, what's his name, Bob Famous, because he got like banned, but then he got brought back, right? Famous Horse Trainer. You know him if you saw him. He looks like a James Bond villain. Famous Horse Trainer Bob. Bob Baffert, is he still, this is from, still banned, NBC Connecticut. Is he still banned? He's 71 years old. I was going to say he has 71 years. I've been playing too much Duolingo Espanol. You say Yo Tango 71 años, whatever 71 is. I learned it in college. I haven't gotten that far yet. We haven't gotten above doce in numbers. Don't hate me. That's just how they show it to you. It says, oh, okay, here we go. Well, we're learning something. Learned one thing here. Baffert will not be at the 2024 Derby. In July 23, Churchill Downs tacked on another year to Baffert's two-year suspension after his 2021 winner, Medina Spirit, failed a post-race drug test and was disqualified. So Baffert is eligible to enter horse in Preakness and Belmont Stakes, but not in Kentucky Derby. So it will be another 3 years or so, or it'll be a third year without Bob Baffert. Through 2023, apparently, Baffert has collected $351 million in purse earnings. And then the last thing from the Washington Post, his fines have been worth roughly $20,000. $351 million versus $20,000. There you go. Bob Baffert. Have yourself a day. Okay. Let me pull up ever so briefly, and then we're actually getting to the top 10 list. This has been an all-time clinic in burying the lead, which I apologize for. Here were the top 10 horse names from 2023, and I don't have all the honorable mentions here. I'm just going to do the top 10 list, so thanks for bearing with me. This is last year. Number 10, Pitch Clock Violation. Number 9, Up Charge the Rear. Number 8, Euania. Number 7, Tarmac Tartar. Number 6, Scotch Snob. Number 5, Taken for Granted. Number 4, Tales of Yore. 3, A440. 2, Doxology. And number 1, Dreadnought. Okay, so without further ado, thank you to everyone who, over email, over Instagram, submitted names for this year's top 10 horse list. We're going to jump into it right here. Let's do our guest names that got submitted, because I do support everyone who supports this show. I appreciate you, and I receive your comments, your questions, your feedback, and I read them on air. It's a community-based show. So while these three guest name suggestions did not make the official top 10 list, who really cares, right? Because we're reading them right here. And we've never had a guest prediction make number one, and this year is no exception. The guest prediction slots in at number 10. It doesn't have to be that way. It's just how I did it this year. But here are the three guest predictions or guest suggestions. I keep saying predictions. Thank you for these for submitting these horse names and for supporting our show. I appreciate it. From mother of the podcast, Jane, we have Emoji. Spelled just like it's supposed to be, Emoji. Could have been a good opportunity to add some like E-M-O-J-E-E, something like that, but it's okay. This is a very audio-focused podcast. From brother of the show, Jack Furness, I like this one, Hot Dog Party. Reminds me of that Seth Rogen animated film, which I think there's a TV show out now because I saw some sort of ad. I lingered on it for a second. Lingonberries from IKEA. We used to go as a family, quick side step. We used to go to IKEA like once a year-ish. It wasn't like an annual tradition, like, oh, this is the day we're going to IKEA. It just would happen occasionally. From Rockford to Schaumburg, which felt like a big trip to me, but it was like an hour. And I don't know if we would like pair it with other things, but we would go for a little bit. I don't recall buying things. Maybe I'm going crazy, but my memory says we literally just like walked around, browsed, observed, took notes. And then most times we would go down to the food court and, you know, everyone would get like one thing. They'd be like $3 each, but you know, your hot dog, your Swedish meatballs, which I thought were disgusting as a kid. Something about the sauce. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Swedish meatballs are delicious, but you can also get lingonberries, right? IKEA. Thank you for that submission, Jack. And then Matt Fiedler, big winner today. You just heard him on the show a couple weeks back. He submitted two, and one of them was what we picked for our top 10. The one that did not make it was Wraith Wrath. I don't know if Matthew's been watching some Lord of the Rings lately. He's a huge Hobbit head, as you might know. But Wraith Wrath was the last of our honorable mentions. So let's get into it. The top 10 list here. We're going to start at number 10. Big event. Top 10 horse names of the year. I love it. Thank you, everyone, for supporting. This is one of my favorite shows of the year, even though it's taken us 42 minutes to actually get to our top 10 list. But here it is. Without further ado, we'll read the top 10 list. We'll add little anecdotes along the way. And then we will cement our new number one horse name of the year into history, along with our other ultimate number ones list, which I will read out as we finish up this episode. Okay, grab your drinks, strap in. Number 10, our guest listener prediction slot of the year from Matt Feather, dear friend of the show. Representing the, partially representing the alliterative party this year. Usually I have a couple. I only came up with one, but Matthew was gracious enough to come up with one of his own. This is Havoc Harbinger. Great name, Havoc Harbinger. Sounds like a Marvel villain, right? Havoc, just like it's spelled, H-A-V-O-C, and then Harbinger. Great word. If you're curious, from the Oxford Dictionary, a person or thing that announces or signals the approach of another. Excellent work to all of our listener submissions this year, but Matthew, great job. Havoc Harbinger, congratulations, number 10. Number 9, this one I think came up when I was watching Beat Bobby Flay. Number 9 is Creamy Leeks, and L-E-E-K-S. It almost sounds like NeNe Leakes, right? From Real Housewives of Atlanta and the Celebrity Apprentice. But Leakes, of course, if you don't know, they're like a broad leaf, almost like a wild onion or celery, kind of that type of thing. Or like a green onion, you could almost think of it like, but like a much wider leaf. Leakes, my first introduction to Leakes when I was younger, if you play Pokemon Generation 1, one of the most like underutilized / boring Pokemon in that generation, Farfetch'd, is a bird that you can get in a trade in Vermilion City. If you trade a Drowsy, this girl will give you a Farfetch'd, but it's a normal like type bird. It's not interesting. The one kind of signature thing it has is Sword Stance, which raises your attack by 2 levels, which in original Pokemon gameplay is hugely overpowered. But he doesn't have any other good moves. Though I think the like thought process of where you get him in the game is to use him for a specific cut function to access a gym that you have to pass. But there's other Pokemon who can learn it. But Farfetch'd has a leak in his mouth. He's a bird with a leak in his mouth. Like, that's the Pokemon. So that's not the origin of this name. It definitely came up from watching a cooking show. But Creamy Leeks. There you go. Almost could be a golf course, right? Creamy Leeks. The links at Creamy Leeks. I would play there. I've never played golf before. But I do anticipate getting roped into a golf game at this bachelor party I'm going to in Nashville, which probably could be disastrous, right? Just casually putting this out there. I've never played golf before. I've hit a couple of balls at the driving range with my dad when I was like 16. I've never even been to a Topgolf. I played mini golf. So I feel like putting wise, I know what to do. Not that it's going to go in, but like I know what to do. But driving wise, man, I'm going to have to watch some YouTube videos on the drive down there. I've watched my fair share of golf in my day. I understand basic mechanics. I understand how you're supposed to hold the club. But if this course we're playing is any sort of water trap or alligators or people behind me that would like me to not take 10 shots to get the, I was going to say puck in the goal, shows you how I'm thinking, ball in the hole, it's going to be bad. So, Creamy Lakes, we'll see you, Tennessee, in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Number eight, when you're planning a wedding, this is something you need to do consistently, guys. Number eight, it is vet your vendor. And I thought about last second changing vendor to Ventnor, like the property in Monopoly, but I decided let's stay true. I guess I said, you know, there was only one other alliterative name, but vet your vendor is basically alliterative. So vet your vendor, whether it's the, you know, catering, photography, which we're working on right now, your actual venue, day of coordinator, flowers, people you have to hire off the street because no one actually wants to come to your wedding, maybe. We don't know yet. These are all vendors that you have to vet. So number eight is vet your vendor. Number seven, I was making a traditional authentic gumbo about a month, 2 months back. And I love gumbo. It's what I request for my birthday every year. Typically when I'm doing Creole stuff at home, I just cook jambalaya. It's a lot easier. You don't have a roux. But I texted my mom. I texted Jane. I was like, what's your, tell me a little bit about your roux secret. And Jane proceeded to share number seven with me, her roux ratio. When you're talking roux, guys, you got flour, butter, and probably a third thing. Looks like I paid a lot of attention to that text message. But you got to, actually, it might just be those two things, right? Butter and flour. But everyone's got a different roux ratio. Some lean into the butter, some lean into the flour. I tend to follow more of a moderate with my roux ratio. But, and this is the last of the alliteration, I promise. Number seven was roux ratio. If you're curious, roux is R-O-U-X. We are talking about Beau Limmer, B-E-A-U-X, center, sixth round center, right? Fourth round, fifth round, can't remember. After the first 32 picks, I kind of tune out, and it's like, oh, that's kind of nice. Maybe that guy will be good. But it just kind of happens. I'm not actually tracking those guys. So number seven, roux ratio. Number six, this is one I wish I would have made a note on where it came from. All of these names here are things that have come up. And like I wrote them down in my phone. I was like, oh, this would be a great horse name. Now, this one's no exception. I just don't remember where it came from. But now it makes me think of a certain Windows computer game that comes with your laptop when you get it. Number six is Sweeper Cell. Sweeper like Randy Johnson, Cell like Free Cell, which I could never figure out how to play. But this makes me think of Minesweeper too. Like you got all those little different squares you click on. Minesweeper, Sweeper Cell. I think it was some sort of malapropism or mispronunciation of Sleeper Cell, which, you know, if you've watched any Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movies, you probably understand a sleeper cell somewhat well. But this is a sweeper cell. So number six is Sweeper Cell. Number five will be near and dear to the hearts of many Midwesterners out here. I actually don't know how far this goes. Is this just a Chicago thing? Is this a Midwestern thing? Is this a nationwide thing? Is this a worldwide thing? I have legitimately no idea, but watch out because they're coming. And here in Chicago, it's like started a little bit and peak, not peak, but like shit hits the fan this upcoming week. Number five is Brood 19, and that is an XIX if you're curious. Brood XIX, the cicadas. They are coming in hot like a plague of locusts in, I was going to say the Mennonites, but Israel. Israel's so boring, right? Everyone says Israel. There's got to be other names. Canaan, Were there locusts in Canaan? Probably. I certainly want them to be. Oh, the neighbors next door are having a party. I think our downstairs neighbors were moving out earlier today when I walked in with my tall boy. Rest in peace. Everyone's moving. Dude, they... I'm not even going to get into the apartment showing situation, but they've been showing our apartment since late March, and it's May 3rd. They still can't give this puppy away. So. I will say, though, tip of my cap to our leasing company, Cass. We haven't had issues with them. Other people online have had plenty of issues. I'm not going to get into it. I will say, though, the way that they do their showing notifications, right? Chicago, you have to do 20 or 48 hours notice. They have an email system where they tell you, like, here are the scheduled times. And if something gets canceled, it gets canceled. We've had like 40 cancellations in the last month. It's absolutely insane. Had three more today, all canceled, which is fine with me. You just get a shit ton of emails. And I, for some reason, I get duplicate emails. So anytime there's an update, I get two. But the reason I give a tip of my cap, because my previous place, when I lived in Lincoln Park, my landlord did not respect the 48 hours notice. One time came in when I was in the shower. And what are you going to do? Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to, like, small claims court with you and try to, like, get emotional damages to this 90-year-old Greek lady. Like, I'm not going to waste my time on that. It's just a shitty situation. So thank you, Cass, for at least having, like, a shred of decency. Although, man, I wish someone would sign for this apartment. They've already knocked it down a couple $100s. So we'll see. If they knock it down another like 500, maybe we'll break our other lease. I don't know. Number four. God, we are getting down to it. Number four. I don't know. Excuse me. Whom exactly this came from, but it was something in a work email that I saw, and I just saw it, and I was like, this, hold the phone. This is going in our top 10 horse names. Number four, Indigenous Touches. And what I like about Indigenous Touches is it could be like a Hansi Sacagawea, or it could just be like, we are designing a mural in, I don't know, Norman, Oklahoma. And even though it was a bunch of white settlers who came in and, you know, probably raped and pillaged and, you know, Native American tribes and pueblos that had been here for centuries, what if we made a mural dedicated to the Native Americans that had some Indigenous touches? Or, again, going back, it could be just Pocahontas going to town on John Rolfe, giving him a hand job at, you know, Thanksgiving, right? That's how that happened. The first Thanksgiving, Pocahontas giving a little tug, a tip of the cap and a tug of the boner to John Rolfe. That's the Disney. I think that was Pocahontas 2, which I think that's actually true, though, right? So everyone knows the Disney Pocahontas. She marries John Smith. It didn't happen in real life. He, like, leaves on the boat because he gets shot, right? And she's like, you know, I'll miss you forever or whatever, and he leaves on the boat. They made a Pocahontas 2. You know what? I want to be respectful of time. I also want to know about Pocahontas 2. So let's go ahead and... let's head to Google and check out Pocahontas 2. I'm pretty sure she, like, it tries to get back to the real story, and she goes to England. Pocahontas 2, Journey to a New World. Okay. So here we go. Pocahontas 2, 1998 direct-to-video animated musical adventure film. Well, the first film dealt with her meeting John Smith and the arrival of British settlers in Jamestown. The sequel focuses on Pocahontas' journey to England with John Rolfe to negotiate for peace between the two nations, although her death is omitted from the film's ending. Damn. So that raises the question, what actually happened to Pocahontas? I'm not going to read the whole plot, but this is interesting because I never actually have seen this movie. In London, John Smith is ambushed by a group of soldiers with a warrant for his arrest and presumed dead in the ensuing confrontation. John Smith gets framed as a traitor. Yada, yada. It sounds like they really throw John Smith under the bus here. Let's click into John Rolfe's Wikipedia page. What was this guy in real life? Husband of Pocahontas, first settler in the colony of Virginia to successfully cultivate a tobacco. God, my eyes are just done. 7:30 p.m. already, mercy. Tobacco crop for export. Okay, let's move past John Rolfe here. We can come back later. Pocahontas, let's talk about this death that they were talking about that didn't get shown in the film. In March 1617, and when was Pocahontas born? We think 1596. Oh, 21 years old. Shit. Says, did you guys know, Beantown Podcast poll question of the week, did you know Pocahontas was dead this young? This is brutal. I had no idea. I thought she lived to be like regular age back then, like her mid-30s. Okay, here it is, direct from Wikipedia, two paragraphs, and we jump back to the horses, I promise. We got three left. This is all from Indigenous Touches. In March 1617, Rolfe and Pocahontas boarded a ship to return to Virginia, but they had sailed only as far as Gravesend on the River Thames. So Gravesend is a town in England. When Pocahontas became gravely ill, she was taken ashore where she died from unknown causes, aged 21 and much lamented. According to Rolfe, she declared that all must die for her. That's spooky. It was enough that her child lived. So you had a kid, I guess. Is there still a Pocahontas descendant alive today? I don't know. Speculated. I was looking up Hitler's children earlier today because he had like one alleged child that wasn't confirmed. And then that person has grandchildren, or that person has kids who are like in their 50s now. Crazy stuff. Okay, speculated causes of her death included pneumonia, smallpox, tuberculosis, hemorrhagic dysentery, a.k.a. the bloody flux. Wow, that'd be a good horse name. And poisoning. Bum, bum, bum. Pocahontas' funeral took place March 21st, 1617, in the parish of St. George's Church, Gravesend. Her grave is thought to be underneath the church's chancel, which is just a part of a church, though that church was destroyed in a fire in 1727, and its exact site is unknown. Wait, so we don't even know where Pocahontas is buried? This country's going to shit, man. And by this country, I mean England. Since 1958, she has been commemorated by a life-size bronze statue in St. George's Churchyard, a replica of the 1907 Jamestown sculpture by American sculptor William Ordway Partridge. Speaking of middle names, oh wait, here's the son. I wanted to briefly mention middle names. Rutherford B. Hayes, take a quick guess. What do you think his middle name is? Because I was thinking of what could we name our dog when we get him in a couple weeks or months here. Rutherford B. Hayes is high on my list, but I wanted to see what the B stood for. I didn't know this. Rutherford B. Hayes' middle name is Burchard. B-I-R-C-H-A-R-D. Sounds like a hockey player for the Montreal Canadiens. Rutherford Burchard Hayes. Pocahontas and John Rolfe had a son, Thomas Rolfe. Thomas and his wife had a daughter, Jane Rolfe, so we got some half-siblings going here. Can we 23andMe this shit? Get all the way to the present day? Like John Tyler's grandchildren? What do we find from Thomas Rolfe? We got any family here? Oh my God. It actually happened. Thomas Rolfe what is the source here on Wikipedia? Oh, this was some sort of like, Who Are You Really? You know, ABC network show. Get this. Thomas Rolfe is the 11th great-grandfather of Edward Norton. So Edward Norton's 12th great-grandmother, Pocahontas, baby, we unlocked. That's like, this is better than like National Treasure. Ed Norton, star of many a Wes Anderson film and American History X. 12th great-grandmother was Pocahontas. Badass, man. You learn crazy shit on the Beantown Podcast. I don't know about you. I'll look, our recording level's down to 33%. Got to bump that baby back up to 75. Okay, number three. This just happened today. This was something that was mentioned to me in a phone screen by a candidate. And when I heard it, I was like, what the fuck is that? This got to be a horse name. Number three, matrix of prioritization. Yes, it's going to be a mouthful for the announcers. We'll start this horse in a shitty post or something. He'll have no chance of winning. You don't have to worry about it. Number three is matrix of prioritization. And I don't have any good stories for that other than just like when I heard it, I was like, someone literally just said this phrase. Is this real life? That's it. Number three, matrix of prioritization. So a little bit less backstory than the 10 minutes we spent on Pocahontas. Number two, this is one I wanted to pick first so bad, but we've had so many one-word winners in our history. I was like, we got to get back. We got to pump up those numbers. So spoiler alert, the number one horse name is going to be two words. But number two on our list, I really loved. It's a great word. It brings me back to pre-calculus, my sophomore year of college or of high school, rather. Number two, it is sinusoidal. And if you need the actual spelling, it's exactly what it sounds like. S-I-N-U-S-O-I-D-A-L. And it just refers to having the form of a sine curve, which is the same thing as a cosine curve, but just upside down. This memory that I have in my head has nothing to do with sine or sinusoidal, although I guess it was probably this stuff happened while I was in sophomore year, which is when I would have been learning about sinusoidal curves. But I used to have to go, like, right after or before piano lessons. My brother Jack and I, for 2 years in high school, Jack's 2 years older than me, we're like attached at the hip for a lot of things with like going around town, going to different schools for classes, going to music lessons, whatever. There was, at least for one semester, maybe a full two, a time where like it was maybe once a week, twice a week, I don't know, probably once a week, where my brother Jack, who had a great horse name earlier with the hot dog party, would have to drive to the community college to take a class there, and I would be with him, I think, because I had a music lesson right before or after that. And so I would just be, like, there in the student atrium hanging out, little 15-year-old Quinn. And that's when I first started getting into, like, oh, I have my own money. I can spend this on whatever I want. There was a Subway in the student union. It became my weekly routine. Excuse me, back when Subways had $5 footlongs, oh, baby, this is bringing back the memories. I would walk up to the Subway. You get a $5 footlong, a spicy Italian, which is like three different kinds of meats, sodium content, 300% of your daily values or daily needs. You get it on the Italian herbs and cheese bread. Oh, man. This was back when Subway was a legitimate organization. And I would just take that baby to the house, take it to a table, work on my sinusoidal curves, you know, matrices, whatever you learn in pre-algebra. I don't know. I retain nothing of it. Pre-algebra / trig. So a lot of sines, cosines, arctans, right? You really get a lot of usage out of that TI-84 and not just the Pokemon. But yeah, fond memories. And it was only, you know, it was $5 plus tax. It was probably like $5.40. Paying cash always. I didn't have a debit card or anything until I was 16, so rip. That same Subway is probably $9 now. Let's go see. I'm going to actually save you this and just look this up later for my own purposes, see if there's still a Subway at Rock Valley College. It looks like there potentially is. But, guys, this brings us to our number one horse name. Here it is, with no further ado. No drum rolls or anything. The number one horse name for 2024, season 7 of the Beantown Podcast, and entered into our number one horse name Hall of Fame. It is Fugue State. And Breaking Bad fans might know it. I don't really know how this came about. This is one when I started to make the list back in like January. I was just like, there's something about this term that sticks out to me. It just feels like a great horse name, right? So number one is Fugue State. If you are a fan of Breaking Bad, either in season one or season two, there's a time where Walt is like saying, oh, he's doing something over the weekend innocuous to cover, you know, against his wife, Skyler. And the RV ends up breaking down. So he's stuck out there for like longer than he wants to be. And so he has to decide, like, how the fuck do I get out of this situation? And he says, because he's already been diagnosed with cancer and whatnot at that point. So he's like, oh, I I completely forgot where I was, right? He makes it up by, like, wandering into a grocery store in his underwear, pretending he has no idea what he's doing when he knows exactly what he's doing. And he says, oh, it was a fugue state. And I don't know if I've really come across it. There was something that popped up that, you know, jogged my memory on this term for Horse Name Special. There's a recording level back to 55%. I'm going to have to investigate this later. Audacity really pissing me off. But Fugue State is your number one horse name for 2024. So top to bottom, and then we'll finish with our final list of number ones. Again, thank you to our honorable mentions here, guest submissions. I really appreciate it. Jane, Denison Furness, Emoji, Jack, Hot Dog Party, family members, and then Matt Fiedler, Wraith Wrath. Number 10 from Matt Fiedler, winner of this year's listener submission contest. Number 10, Havoc Harbinger. 9, Creamy Leaks. 8, Vetcher Vendor. 7, Rue Ratio. 6, Sweeper Cell. 5, Brood 19. 4, Indigenous Touches. 3, Matrix of Prioritization. 2, Sinusoidal. And number 1, Fugue State. So we go back to the beginning, season 1, all the way through now. 2018, still, we're going to have to turn this into like a Jeopardy Masters type thing though, right? To like, you know, pit number ones against each other. That's going to be brutal. I think in my heart of hearts, great phrase, this is still my number one overall. I don't think I've ever come across anything that's like, oh, this is way better than number one. So for me, number one is still our OG. 2018, Episcopalian. 2019, Pentateuch. 2020, Irregardless. 2021, Intensive Purposes. 2022, Flamingo Phlebotomy. 2023, Dreadnought. And 2024, the newest entry into the Hall of Fame, is Fugue State. So there you go, guys. Thank you for bearing with me. This podcast was all over the place, way longer than I wanted it to be. The sun has gone down. I need to have some supper, right? Pizza. That's what I'm having. I'm pretty excited. That's what the little Von Trapp girl says. The sun has gone to sleep and so must I. They're gone. Next week on the Beantown Podcast, Quinn does an entire reading of the script of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Sound of Music. 3 hours, no pee breaks. Climb every mountain, soul every star, grapple every valley. Now I got to go watch the end of the first half of Sound of Music when that badass mother sings that amazing song and she hits the high note at the end. What a picture. Rachel's never seen it. She's letting the Nazis win. Guys, my name is Quinn David Furness. Thank you if you submitted a horse name. If not, it's never too early for next year. Our recording level is down at 8%. This has got to be wreaking havoc on your ears. I apologize. I've got to end it there. What a nightmare episode. Thank you so much. My name is Quinn David Furness. This is my show, everyone. Stay safe. Oh, thank you to Pakistan. Quick shout out. Karachi, Hyderabad, Khyber Pass, 112th ranked comedy podcast in Pakistan. Thank you. Stay safe. Stay sane. They have horses in Pakistan? Probably. I'll check in on you next time. Bye.